want to start out with just a little bit of easy stuff to get us going this morning. Nothing super complicated. There are two basic programs running in the Bible. One is prophecy, and the other is mystery. And when you start to understand these two programs, then you start to see the difference between them. For example, if you'll look under Daniel, go to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. And look, if you will, in Daniel chapter 2, look, if you will, in verse 44. Daniel 2, verse 44. In the days of these kings shall God of heaven set up a kingdom. And so the prophecy about Jesus is about a what? Kingdom. And that is very important. God from heaven is going to set up a kingdom. And this is foretold in the Scriptures. It's part of the prophecy. It's what God has been up to from Genesis on through until you start hitting Paul. But look in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. One last verse. Matthew 6. And look, if you will, in verse 10, Matthew 6, verse 10. Jesus Christ was speaking of the kingdom. He said this, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done at done in earth as it is in," what? Heaven. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Thy kingdom come. This kingdom is prophesied. Jesus Christ is confirming the prophecy of the Old Testament. Go to Romans chapter 15, I believe it is. Romans 15. Yeah, 15. Yeah, look in Romans 15. In Romans 15, look if you will, in verse 8. Romans 15, verse 8. "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the Father." What was Jesus' ministry?
To confirm the promise.
What was the promise?
The kingdom.
The kingdom. Jesus came to earth to confirm the promises made unto the Father. Does everybody see that? That's what is His earthly ministry. In fact, look at what Jesus said in Matthew 15. Go to Matthew 15 and look what Jesus said. He didn't come for the Gentile. He didn't come for the church. He came to confirm the promises about a kingdom that God had promised in the Old Testament. All of this is according to prophecy. It's not according to anything that's mystery. You could read the Old Testament and you could find this information out just like that. In Matthew 15, verse 20... four. "But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of" who?
Israel.
What was he there doing? You need to put Romans chapter 15, verse 8 in your Bible. You need to write that in there as a cross-reference. Why? He's there confirming the promises made unto the Father about that kingdom. That's what God, that's what Jesus Christ is up to while he's on earth. Let me give you that reference again so you can write it in your Bible. It's Matthew 15, 24. But outside of that, you need to write Romans chapter 15, verse 8. So you'll have it and be able to study it later. Now, that compares to something completely different. You've got the 12 over here. How many people, how many tribes of Israel? How many apostles? How many prophetic months? 12 is all according to who? Israel. But then you got the mystery. It's not concerning a kingdom. It's concerning body truth. And that's, this is a vast separation from where most church, listen, most churches don't know that there are two programs running simultaneously. So what happens, what do? They try to mix it all up. And people get confused. They get confused on baptism, they get confused on this and that, whether they should keep the commandments, whether they shouldn't keep the commandments, on and on the confusion goes. But if you look at this, these two programs running, and by the way, they did run simultaneously for short periods of time. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. He says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Now, I've got to apologize. If I read wickedly, it's because I haven't had food for 7 days. And I don't think I'll faint. No. I wouldn't put that in my body. Not as hard as it's been to cleanse. It's like, you know what a cleanse is like? It's like when you get your body and you really feel good, and then you don't want to put the junk back in. It's like cleaning your house or spring cleaning. You get it all, no newspapers laying around, no dirty shoes in the den, you know, and you get it vacuumed up and you go, man. And then slowly, guess what happens? The newspapers come back in. That's how you got to be concerned. I am kind of in the zone. If I faint, only the pretty women give me CPR. If one of you ugly guys come up here and give me CPR, I'm going to scream. Oh, baby, I will trust my respiratory therapist. What? Oh, brother, I'm running. I'm going to stay alive just for that. Verse 27 now. Watch this. "For ye are the body of Christ and members..." We're not talking about a kingdom anymore. See, over here you have the 12 apostles. Over here, who's your apostle? Paul is your apostle. How do we know that Paul's our apostle? Romans 11, verse 13. Romans 15, verse 16. 1 Timothy, what? 2 verse 7, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 11. We know that Paul's, but he's talking about body truth. And so really, when you think about the Bible, don't think of it as one book. Think of it as a book toward prophecy and another book toward mystery or body truth. And that's really how you want to divide the thing. Now let's try a couple more passages here. The kingdom is literally going to be here on earth. Go to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Read with me, if you will, in verse 5. I hope you all are taking notes. You guys are bright, but you won't remember it beyond today, I promise you. It's kind of an odd thing about the mind. Verse 5, he says, "Behold, the day cometh, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice," where? Everybody. "In the earth." Everybody. In the earth. Where is this kingdom going to be? Yeah, it's going to be here on earth. And Jesus Christ, when He comes back to reign, will reign all judgment from where? the earth. The kingdom is physically here on earth. Remember what he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That phrase is very important. You've heard that song, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. That isn't really a song that we should be singing. It's a nice tune, but it's for the kingdom. It has nothing to do with body truth. Very important. Now, let's go back to the body. Well, look in Ephesians chapter 1. So here we're on earth, and by the way, you can put Matthew 6, verse 10 again. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, as a reference to the earth as well. Ephesians chapter 1. Can't get my pages to turn this morning. My hands are so soft since I've been fasting, I can't hardly turn my pages of my Bible. It's really weird. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Read with me. Body truth now. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us. Going to bless us?
Amen.
Hath blessed us. How many? With all spiritual blessings. Where? Amen. In heavenly places. This over here has not to do with the earth as over here. It has to do with the what? The heavenly places. A vast difference between prophecy truth and mystery truth. A vast difference. Over here you have the 12 apostles. Over here you have the apostle Paul. Over here you're dealing with a kingdom and a king. And over here, body. And a head. Let's try Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 6. And hath raised us up. Going to raise us up? Hath raised us up. I'm sorry, I'm trying to read verse 5 while I need verse 6. And he raised us up together and made us sit together where? In heavenly places. Listen, are we planning to inherit the earth? No, that's not our inheritance. Whose inheritance is the earth? It's Israel. They've got a kingdom that is going to be on earth. Ours is where? In the heavenlies. It's very clear, if you believe your Bible, that there are two different hopes. Look at since we're in Ephesians, go back to Ephesians chapter 1 for just a minute. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What is the hope of our calling? The catching up, getting out of here. The rapture. Where what will happen? The dead in Christ shall what? Rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. That's the promise. It's a heavenly calling. Look in Colossians chapter 3. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Read with me in verse 1. Our hope, not the earth. Our hope is not a kingdom. Our hope is deliverance from this present evil world. Colossians chapter 3, read with me if you will, in verse 1 please. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are what? He didn't say set your affections on the earth, does he? Or the hope of a kingdom? No. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Boy, that's clear, isn't it? I mean, if you were going to set up a kingdom, why would you worry when Christ was coming back to set up a kingdom on earth? He didn't say set your affections on things on this earth. He said to do what? Set your affections on things above. Why? Well, that's our hope. He said, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, I love this, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Isn't that great? That's a great hope. Different, though, from Israel's. Is Israel's hope great? It's great, but what is? Ours is greater. They get the earth. Folks, listen. I know that you've seen X-Men and all those. You know, I'm probably one of the few immortals that you'll see. I'm not going to die. Death has no sting over me. I'm already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm not trying to get to heaven. I'm already there. How did I get there? By the blood of Christ. This is not hey, let's work at it and see if we can become Christians. That's not the deal here. The hope of Christians is right now. You don't have to wait for your hope. We're a new creature in Christ right now. You know, and all the struggles we seem to go through are just struggles you're putting yourself through. All right, now let's go back. The third point, Christ will be their king. Now, you know, I hear a lot of contemporary songs singing about a king. I got bad news. He's not your king. He's something else to you. But for Israel, he is a king. Go to Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9. I can't turn these pages. It's amazing. I'm going to rough up my... It's kind of funny. Not used to being able... Isaiah 9. You guys have more fun coming here than you have anywhere else, isn't it? If you're having a good time, say amen.
Amen.
This is a fun little church, isn't it? Now, don't scare Phil and his wife away too quick, okay? So be nice to them. This crowd can get turned on you at any time. I mean, being a preacher, if you step on one thing wrong, they're squealing. So you guys be nice. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And by the way, who is that child?
Jesus Christ.
And the son is Jesus Christ. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called a Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. By the way, wouldn't that kind of make the Jehovah Witnesses that Jesus and God are not the one? When he says that he's the Everlasting Father?
The Mighty God.
The Mighty God. I had one Jehovah Witness said, yeah, but he may be the Everlasting Father, but he's not the Almighty God. And I said, You're biting at the wrong thing. Jesus Christ is God. That's the doctrine of the faith. And people don't understand that. My God isn't Allah. My God isn't working toward a God. My God has a position and a name. His name is Jesus. His position is he's the Christ. The Christ. And anyway, he says... Where was I? Verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. Where did we read about that? Jeremiah 23. You might want to put that in your Bible right there. Write it in. Get your handy-dandy Bible pens out. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. And upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Boy, that's clear, isn't it? Who's the king? It's Christ. He's the king. And you can go to Jeremiah 23. I'm not going to go there. We just read it. So if you got references, it's Jeremiah 23, verse 5. But the relationship with Christ to the church is actually a little more intimate than a king to a kingdom. Y'all understand? A little more intimate. Why? He's not the king of the body. Bless God, he's the head of the body. Boy, if people could get a hold of this truth, they would go back to Ephesians I'm having to spray my pages so I can get there. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. See, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, doing what? Rightly dividing." Well, you can't just take one doctrine out of Matthew and one doctrine out of here. You must rightly divide it. Well, I believe the right way to divide the Bible is what's according to prophecy and what's according to mystery. And by the way, are there things in the old prophetic thing that applies to the body truth? Yeah, absolutely. Marriage would be one. There's other things, God's righteousness and stuff. But you really want to divide the Bible into two fabrics, one prophecy, one mystery. Ephesians chapter 1, look at it, verse 19 through the end of the passage. And I love this. "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places." There's that heavenly places again. "Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet." And here it is. "And gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body." And I love this. "The fullness of Him that filleth all in all." Man, that's powerful. See, the relationship that we have with God is God instilled in me when I trusted Christ His righteousness. He imputed to me His righteousness. And therefore the fabric of God and me are inseparable. Why? He's merged us into one. He is the fullness of Him that filleth. I'm as much a part of God as God is a part of me. Our fabrics have been wound. How? Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Through the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through that which that Christ did, not through my own works, not through repentance, not through joining a church, not by religious acts, not by quitting sinning, not by that. How? By the act of Christ. We're fabric. You say, well, how close are you? Well, go to 2 Corinthians 5. Let me read this. 2 Corinthians 5. See, God cannot impute any trespasses onto me. Why? Well, folks, He put all my trespasses on Jesus Christ. He made His Son to die in my stead. He didn't do that for the kingdom. He made Him to be sin. But watch verse 19. "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses onto them." Is God imputing your trespasses onto you?
No.
Not imputing. You ought to underline that in your Bible. It is underlined? Well, you must have been here before. That's good. "Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Verse 21. Skip verse 20. "For He," that is God, "had made Him," that is Christ, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." So when you're in Christ, guess what? You have the righteousness of God. All of a sudden, the relationship is not a king over a kingdom, but a head that is controlling the body. An intimate relationship that is so intimate that ultimately, the goal is for your thoughts to become His thoughts. Anybody having any problem with that? That's hard, isn't it? Making His thoughts your thoughts. Because we get trapped in this world of thinking, oh my goodness, we're under panic. Oh my goodness, something's going to happen. Oh, I'm surprised. I love Miss Holloway, since she's almost 85. She worries about things all the time. As people get older, they worry. They worry about things that don't even matter to worry about. And you know what? Listen, if our thoughts become His thoughts, you know what He says? Fear not. Just relax. Everybody take a deep breath. Just let it out. Nothing is going to happen to you that God doesn't know. Not one thing. Nothing's going to surprise you tomorrow that He didn't know about. See, this intimate relationship is different than a king. Over here you have a what? King. Over here you have a what? That head knows, it knows what's coming. I look out of my eyes, I look out of my head. Everything that I sense is in my head. My toes feel because of the brain in my head. That intimate relationship is what you have with Christ. It is different than a king. Now, if you want a king, I guess you could become a Jew and get under the prophecy program. But the intertwining of the intimacy of Christ is what we're talking about. That is endearing. That's amazing. And people want a king? Why would you want a king when the head wants you to be part of the body? Go to... let me get my wits about me. This just jumped in my head. 1 Timothy... Now hang on just a second. Ephesians. Go to Ephesians 4. Verse 15. But speak the truth in love, may grow up in Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual workings and the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Boy, that's amazing, isn't it? God is the head. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church, the body of Christ. And then He's put the truth in us, and He wants us to edify ourselves in love. And so as I teach faithful men who can be able to do what? Teach others also. When I die, or when I'm gone, or when I'm not, you don't need to go and call a pastor. You know, listen, I'm amazed at churches that call pastors. Why would you call a pastor? Wasn't the man of God supposed to be teaching faithful men who should be able to do what? Well, why didn't the church just bring up another teacher? Terry ought to be as good as I am. And if he isn't, shame on him. Right? Tony should be as good as me. If I'm gone, hey, I should be able to say, hey, get up here and teach on this subject or that subject and know it's going to be taught exactly the same way. You know why? It's the same deal, same message. It doesn't change. So I want to invent something new. Well, then there's your problem right there. We've gotten into social engineering in the church. That's not what God's interested in. God's interest in the church acting like a body and functioning together as one. And the reason we're not doing that is the doctrine has been messed up. We've got a head, the central thing. Go to 1 Corinthians. Boy, verses are just popping into my head. I may be running over. You guys may want to pay a little extra. You might get something extra out of this. What? It might be worth it. Throw an extra $5 and see what you get. Man, I may lay one really big on you. Some big piece of gold that you'll just go, wow, that's big. What did I tell you? I did? Really?
You need a Diet Coke, man. You just based out all over the place.
Hang on.
You need a
Just a second. I got it. You don't have it. Verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. You almost caught me. I'm like, I was a little drifty up here, I admit, you know. The wind wasn't quite under my wings, but I wasn't in the stall pattern yet. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, everybody, that you all speak the same thing. Well, are all the churches speaking the same thing? There's a problem, isn't it? They're disconnected from the head. They don't know whether they have a king. They don't know whether they're under a head. They don't know what doctrine lies to them. And so this mass confusion, and he said that there should be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind. Why would the same mind be important? Who is the mind? It's the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. And in the same judgment. Boy, that's important. So over here, you have a kingship. Over here, you have a headship. Two different relationships, two different purposes, two different functions. Another thing, look in Luke chapter 1. Luke. Aren't you glad you came today? I would hate to miss this. Even being the pastor, I would just, you know, this would be terrible. And look, if you will, in Luke chapter 1. And notice something here about the kingdom truth. Verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of the world. Oh, you better underline that. For He hath visited and redeemed His people. I would put in Zechariah 13, verse 1 right there. The fountain will be opened for the house of who? David, yes. That's close enough. I'll give you a B on that. And hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David. He didn't say the world. And He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, which has been since the world began. Over here, how about the kingdom? It's been since the world began. Okay? You got it? All the prophecy has been since the world began. Y'all with me on that? Go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. If you can't see the difference between these two programs when I'm done, it won't be my fault. Acts chapter 3. Look, if you will, in verse 21. Whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of His holy prophets, everybody, since the world began. Everybody, since the world began. When has this prophecy been? Since the world began. But, fascinating, go to 2 Timothy, go to 2 Timothy, and go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Notice the difference between body truth and kingdom truth, or prophecy. I hope you guys are getting this on the internet. If you have any questions, you can text me at 334-669-0920. I usually have an announcer doing that. Wayne's missing. It's kind of weird. So, anyway, you can text me there. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Was that what I was going to do? or 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Now watch this. Body truth now. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, everybody, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began. So over here, the body truth is before the world began. Is that the same or different? When you start to divide the Scriptures, it doesn't let you just have a piece of it. It just keeps pouring. It just keeps pouring on you until you get it. Let's try another passage. Go to Galatians chapter 3. I may have a bad reference here. Huh? That's a bad reference. I'm sorry. Yeah, Ephesians 2. We'll have it too. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16. That He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him... That's a... What verse? I'm missing the path. Hang on just a second. I see it. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ, Him being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together and joined unto a holy temple, for you are also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. That's not the passage. I've messed up. No, it'll kill you. Trust me.
Ephesians 3, 5.
Let me see. Yeah, there's one other passage. I don't know. I'm sorry. Before the world began. No. I've given you one. I'll find the other ones as we go. Let me just keep going. The prophecy truth. Israel over here. Israel, according to prophecy, will be over the nations.
It says, from the beginning of the world hath been hid. Here it's been made known since the beginning. Here it says...
Have been hid.
Since the beginning.
Yes. But before. And the reason why before is so important is because when did He choose us? Go to Ephesians chapter 1. That might be the best place to go. Let me show you this. Now watch. Verse 4. Ephesians 1. According hath He has chosen us. Here it is. This is the verse I needed. Thank God. Before the foundation of the world. When did He choose you? That was the passage I needed. You were 3:5. It was 1:4. Before the world ever got even framed, before He ever spoke it into existence, guys, grab hold of this. This is so powerful. I was on His mind. And I'll tell you something even greater than that. Listen to me very carefully. Listen to me very carefully. God formed the world because He wanted you. He had this church out there that represented him. This church is the encasement and the embodiment of his own righteousness. You got that? You got it? And so he put Adam, built the earth, put Adam, knew Adam was going to fall. Because he wanted you. So how much did he want you? He obviously wanted you a lot. He watched man fall. He offered blood sacrifices for that man throughout the ages. And then he finally offered his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And they thought, the men of this world, thought they were destroying Jesus. But God had a mystery. You know what the mystery was? That he was going to die for your sins. Every one of them. Doesn't matter how bad you are. Doesn't matter if you're a whore. Doesn't matter if you're homosexual. Doesn't matter if you're a drunkard. Doesn't matter if you curse. Doesn't matter if you're mean to people. Doesn't matter. God died for you. Did you hear me? God made himself to be sin for you. Are you listening to me? And God put it to a thing and started the whole world that one of you in this room, one of you that's hearing my voice on the internet, one of you that's around the world listening to us right now could be saved. That's why God did it. And it all happened. It wasn't like, okay, now I've got a world, what do I have to do? It was before the foundation of the world. Man, how about the prophecy? Everybody.
Since the world began.
But not you. You're not an afterthought. You're not just a happenstance. God just not going, hey, I wonder about... You were the thought. People say, what's the whole point of the Bible? You're the point of the Bible. What are you? I'm the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I'm a member of the body of Christ that is the righteous part of God. How much of God is in me? Wow. Now, you're not an afterthought. You're not something just happening. God had a plan for you. To represent him in all eternity. People go, well, what's the whole deal of this? Well, the whole dealy-willy is real simple, folks. You were on his mind in the formation of the planet Earth. Now, how is that possible? Yeah, Ephesians 2:7 would do it. And in the ages to come, he might show these exceeding riches in his kindness to us that believe. Wow. For all eternity, we are going to be the example. God's going to say, people come up in the kingdom and they'll say, well, God, show me your grace. You want to see my grace? Barry, come here. Yes, Lord. Stand there for a minute. You see, Barry isn't worth the gunpowder to blow him into hell. Barry isn't worth a cuss word. Barry isn't worth anything. But I saved him by my grace. And he is an example of grace. He didn't deserve to be saved. He deserved to go to hell. Do you know what I'll say to that? Amen. That's true. Why would you save him? So that I could show you how gracious I am. Why do we call ourselves Grace Bible Church? The hint might be in the Word. This is good stuff, isn't it? Better than a poke in the eye, I always say. Israel's going to be over the nations. Look, if you will, in Isaiah. We're going to get only one more of these. Do you want me to continue this in the next hour? All right, I'll continue this in the next hour. We've probably got enough to fill it up. I'm running behind because I'm trying to be slow and deliberate. Huh? Oh, Isaiah. You guys are already there? Man, you guys are good students. Isaiah 60.
You had already given us Ephesians 1:4 at the beginning of the sermon.
That's okay. It's good to go over them.
You thought you forgot it.
But I did preach it well, didn't I, honey? Isaiah 60. You know, Brother Moore said you don't have to... He told me one time, you don't have to be the best preacher. Just grab a verse and preach it well. I thought that was funny. Isaiah 60. Now watch. Isaiah 60, verse 10. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls. Whose walls? Israel's. And thy king shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually, and they shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. Now listen, Israel is the authority over the entire world. Do you all understand that? That's the way it is. And look in 61 while we're there. Isaiah 61. You just a page over. I think it's verse 6. Yes. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call unto you ministers out of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. See, their authority over the Gentiles. Y'all see that? But look if you will, in the body truth. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Where we were trying to find that verse earlier. I might have read the verse down below it. Whoops. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are one in Christ. Is that true in the kingdom?
No.
No, that's not true in the kingdom. Guys, listen. You're one in Christ. Is there any Jew or Gentile? There's Jew nor Greek in the body of Christ. We're all what? The church is one body. Over here, there's Israel and then the what? That's not one body. That's two. And these will have to worship those. Do you have to worship anybody in the body? No, you just worship the Lord. We all worship the Lord together. All right, let's take a break.